Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 330.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 330. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. I have a great episode for you guys today. And it kind of emerged out of two things that happened. I had a gig last week. I'm in Sacramento, and the great Dr. Joe Gilman is a fantastic, amazing pianist who was on, played with Bobby Hutcherson for a long time, played with Jeff Tin Watts, had an amazing career. Definitely check out his stuff. But he lives in Sacramento. He's a close friend of mine. He actually owns a restaurant, a Thai restaurant, and it's essentially a jazz club, which is super cool. It's probably the only place, or one of the better known, I'd say the top place to like play in Sacramento, which is kind of funny. So I was playing at Joe's restaurant with a vocalist who's amazing, and I have multiple bands. I have a jazz band. I have another band that is kind of more funk, jazz, we're a crossover in so many ways. Folk, a lot of different ways. But essentially, a member of that band was at the concert listening to the vocalist and I play. And after the concert, she was like, "Brendan, you know, I love listening to you improvise and play jazz because, you know," she plays in the band with me where we do some jazz, but we don't do a lot of jazz. We have a lot of compositions that we play through. There's not much soloing. There's soloing here and there. But she's like, "Every time you go to improvise, I never know what's going to happen. And it's like I'm on the edge of my seat every time your solo comes up," right? And that got me thinking, because to me, that's the way I am. And I told her, "Well, Natalie, you want me to tell you the secret?" And this isn't what I'm going to teach you guys today, but I was like, the secret is I try to keep myself not bored as much as humanly possible, right? Because if I played the same solos every time or did the same thing every time, I'd be bored out of my mind, right? And honestly, I do get bored. I get bored pretty easily. And in music, like, I'm trying to inspire myself. Sometimes, like, I need to inspire myself in ways, so I try different things. And I go for different things, and I, try something, and I'm like, "Ooh, this sounds cool." And that inspires me, right? If I started the same way, if I did the same thing, like, I would be bored, and the solos would sound boring as well. So I'm always looking for something to inspire me in a certain direction or motivate me. So I didn't say that whole thing to her, but I was like, "You know, Natalie, yeah, I'm just trying to keep myself engaged, you know, and not bored. Honestly, that's my secret." But this is what this podcast episode is going to be about, because, and it's a short one, it's more about a conceptual idea that you all can work on and start to implement today. But one of my mastermind students asked me in a class recently, a couple days ago, that he was like, "Well, sometimes you hear artists, jazz artists, and they're improvising, and it sounds okay. You know, and they're getting the job done, and there's like no wrong notes or anything, and it sounds decent, you know, but there's just something missing. Like, it's kind of flatline, right? But they're playing amazing things. Like, the notes are right, their technique is great, but it just is not interesting, you know? And then you hear other artists that you're completely, like Natalie said, well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but you're completely on the edge of your seat, and you're like sucked in, and you're completely captivated. Your whole body, your soul, your ears, by every note, you're literally hanging on to every single note that they're playing. Why is that, right? And how do you do that was the question. So this is what I wanted to address here. And anyone can do this, no matter what level you're at. Because again, it's one of those things, it's not about the notes. It's about how you approach playing and improvising in jazz and music. And once I tell you this, listen, I highly encourage you to do some very strong listening, because there are artists and players, and when you go out to hear live music, right, listen to what I'm about to teach you here. Like, so after you get done with the lesson, when you go and listen back to tracks and be like, are they doing what Brendan said? Are they not? Is it kind of happening? And see how captivated you are by their improvisation. It will be a super fun exercise, I promise you. So before I get into that, real quick, again, go to jazzpianoschool.com if you haven't checked that out. All the free education is there. There's a membership and live programs available as well. The live programs, my accelerator program, and my 9-month mastermind program. My mastermind program is coming to an end, so that will be opening up soon. If you do want to get on the waiting list, just go to jazzpianoschool.com / live programs, I believe. If you go to jazzpianoschool.com, you can just click on the live programs tab. Let me see. It might just be program. I honestly can't remember the link. Or group. Hold on, I got to get this for you guys just so I don't screw it up. But anyway, go to jazzpianoschool.com /group, and you can enter your name on an email address. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can use that one. That's fine. You can enter your name on an email address to get on the waiting list. You can also go to jazzpianoschool.com, like I said, and click on live programs, and then that will bring you as well. But, you know, all these, I try to come up as many different ways to kind of like help you all out in this. Obviously, go to YouTube. You can get all the video podcasts there as well, youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. And I email all the education, the free education, things like that. But I'm really trying hard to update a lot of different things and just kind of inspire and educate and innovate on the jazz education front, because I do think it needs some amount of pushing in certain philosophies. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep into that. But if you are new to Jazz Piano School, check out all that good stuff. With that being said, I'm going to dive right into this episode. And again, really take this to heart. It took me a while to get the hang of this and kind of remind myself how important this was, because you don't need fancy tools. You don't need Herbie licks. You don't need McCoy licks. You don't need all this fancy stuff that you probably struggle to play, right? I know I did. I was able to create really amazing developmental improvisation with just a couple small, simple tools like the blues scale, pentatonic scale, diatonic, just chord tones and movement, scalar motion, but coupled with what I'm about to teach you, very powerful, very powerful. And it can completely transform your playing, but you got to take it to heart. You got to work on it. You got to practice it. You got to sit with it, not just for a day, not for 2 days, not for a week, not for a month. I would write it down and I'd have it on my piano. When I played 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, it was there, that sheet of paper, for about a year. And I was always thinking about this stuff. I was always thinking about it, and I was listening. I was listening to players and asking myself why, this question, why? Why does this player, even though they're very technically proficient and they're playing great stuff, all the right notes, but why do I get bored? Why do I enjoy listening to this other player more and not this player? Right? And it has to do with exactly what I'm going to tell you in this episode. Okay? So, with that being said, here's the secret. I'm about to unleash it. Here we go.
All right, so are you ready for the secret? Here it is. Textures and contrast. When you hear solos that sound like this, right? That, if I kept doing that, that's going to get pretty boring, right? It's going to get pretty boring, pretty stale fast. And unfortunately, this is what happens a lot with students. And even me, when I was first growing up, when I went to play the blues, right? that this doesn't sound that appealing to the ear and it doesn't really sound like jazz is because there's no contrast and there's no differentiating textures. So the quicker you can really latch on to this tool and understand it and start to implement it into your own playing, even if you're a complete beginner, the better you're going to be. You have to have differentiating textures. You need different types of dynamics, right? Soft. Movements, phrasing, all these things are going to help add on to your improv and just your playing in general. Like I'm mainly talking about improv right now. If I go into the high end of the piano, check it out. More interesting was that compared to what I just did before, right? Now, again, the reason for this, texture and contrast. So I'm going to go through a lot of different elements. I've actually done this quite a bit before, but I think it's always important that I keep coming back to it because it's really, really important. So again, dynamics, loud, soft, going from soft to loud and loud to soft, right? So in your improv, think about contours of your phrasing. Really have shapes and movements to all your dynamics. Go for every register of the piano, right? High end, low end, right? Utilizing the low end of the piano is a great way to solo, especially for comping, right? A lot of gospel is really super low. Like that's the lowest area of the piano, even when I solo, right? Obviously, I'm playing quite loud, though. I can soften this up a little bit. So this low end of the piano, amazing. Same with the high end, right? If I keep my hand down low here. I mean, you can't even see that. It's so high on the piano, you can't even see it on the screen, right? I'm in the highest end of my piano. See all these little slides and textures I'm doing? Of the piano. Use the high end, use the low end. 99% of the time I see a student play, even just an average or even a high level pianist, right? They're usually the improvising really within here to here. Rarely do I hear a pianist that improvise outside of that area. And if I do, they're probably on a super high level, right? Think about it. When you hear these great pianists improvise, they're using the whole piano. Oscar, Keith Jarrett, Brad Meldow, all these people, they're going all over the piano. They're utilizing everything possible, okay? Think about other textures, slides, octaves, shakes, chords, comping. Switching back and forth between all these textures, right? All this has to kind of happen, and you have to kind of isolate each one and practice each one. Octaves are fantastic. I don't hear enough students play octaves, even four-note chords. Right? And you're soloing. Again, like I said, octaves are fantastic. The slides, dyads. these different textures should be wrapped up, you know, in your playing, moving back and forth. Okay, trills. A lot of playing, right? A lot of playing is a texture. A little bit of playing is a texture. Long run. So if I'm playing a lot, that's a texture in itself, right? And so if I'm playing a lot, right now, the less that I play, the texture that I moved to after a lot of notes was the little notes. And it had that much more of an impact on my solo because I went from a place with lots of notes, obviously. And if I kept doing that, you know, to a certain extent, you'd be like, okay, I get the picture, right? What's the new texture? What's the new thing you're going to move to? And if you move to a new place of contrast, that's going to contrast what you just did. It's going to have such a huge impact, right? Just like if I play super loud, like if I'm going, and then I drop to super soft. See what I did there, right? I started super soft and grew with my comping. See how that's growing in dynamics? All of these things make such a huge difference. And the more you can latch onto this, I mean, again, you don't need to use a lot of complex tools, right? I'm using simple tools, octaves and voicings, even with one note. If I just did that with one note, it's still gonna sound awesome. Okay, so lots of space, little space, lots of notes versus a little bit of notes. Okay, thick textures, like lots of thick textures versus super thin. Pedal versus no pedal. Maybe if I'm playing with pedal. That's all with pedal. And then maybe I switch back and forth. Maybe I go to no pedal. Holds versus short. Long versus short. Short. Long. Right? Short. Long. Short. Long. Again, still no pedal. Maybe I go to pedal. Same thing there. So the more textures you can add in, all these different elements, right? The more developmental your solo can be, your improv, your comping, whatever it is, your solo piano, it can be anything. And think about the piano is a percussive instrument, right? You can do lots of comps. Sometimes I just even hit the piano in my solos, right? And then, you know, go into something else, right? It's all about the creative expression that you really want to try and come out. And the only way to do this is kind of through experimentation, play around with certain concepts, get used to them, see how you like them, see how you don't like them. And you'll gain confidence. I know this is kind of can be scary at first to kind of get out of your box and like put yourself out there in these different types of expressions and textures, you know. But once you start to play with them and work on them throughout the week, throughout the months, you start to develop a relationship with them and they become a part of you, a part of your voice in improvisation. So again, start small. Just go through a lot of the textures I mentioned. Dyads, triads, octaves, low register, high register, middle, medium, low to medium, chordal comping, dynamics, loud to soft, soft to loud, everything in between, staccato, legato, right? Long, short, pedal, no pedal, all these textures, a lot of notes versus a little bit of notes. The more you can work on all these elements and put them into your improv and anything else that you're doing in music, the better off you're going to be instantly. And you're going to be captivating audiences when you solo because things aren't going to be boring. Things get stale when it stays the same. When you have the same texture in your improv or your solo for a long period of time, that's why you should really try to switch as many textures as possible. Rhythm, obviously, I didn't talk about that, but if you're just using eighth note lines, that's going to get kind of boring. That's why you want to have triplets, 16 note ornaments, right? Different types of polyrhythms, quarter note triplets, all that good stuff. The more contrast and rhythms, record yourself, listen back. What am I doing? Am I playing all eighth note lines? Okay, I got to add more rhythms in. Am I only playing triplets? Okay, I got to add 16th notes in. Am I only playing 16th notes? Am I playing too much? Am I playing too little? Okay, I got to add, if I'm playing a lot, then I got to add some space in. If I'm playing too little, then I got to add more in, right? Am I playing segmented broken lines or am I playing long running lines that are just continuously flowing, right? Would just be long, obviously I need some space at some point now, right? Maybe after that whole thing then, maybe I switch up my texture then, okay? So again, work with them daily. I used to write them out on a piece of paper and just put them on my piano so I'd remember them. And anytime I went to sit down and play, even if I was working on a tool, a scale, a concept, a chord, I would try to incorporate different types of textures into that tool I was working on. And slowly but surely, it started to integrate into my play. Okay? Hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll talk to you later.